Warning, the following program contains frank discussions of sexuality in cinema and may feature censored depictions of nudity. These are included for academic purposes only. Viewer discretion is advised. Hey there, this is a special edition of Comment Lounge. This is one of our road trip, quick, nice little on-the-go bite. I haven't taken a break in a few months, and I decided I need to get out and watch some terrible, trashy movies, and there's nobody I'd rather be doing that with than my pal Rusty. So, Rusty, welcome to Comment Lounge.
Thank you for having
me. You've had a great contribution to our production so far. You've provided some effects and skills and technical assistance on some of our animations and things like that, yes. And so I wanted to share with the folks, our fine folks, our fine subscribers, the face behind the magic of Quappy. So I called you up and I said, Rusty, I'm coming. I'm driving out here. I clear your calendar. I was a little bossy. I just want to watch bad movies. And I'm going to show you this picture. I brought like 40 movies so that we could kind of, you know, play blockbuster and pick and choose as we go along.
It was 40 movies?
It was a bunch.
Wow.
I also had some on my iPad, but it was a ton of movies.
Okay.
And I knew we wouldn't watch all of them, but I thought, you know, we could kind of go with the vibe, go with the flow. But I did have some particulars that I absolutely wanted you to see, and that was the ones that are hard to find streaming, mm-hmm. and the ones that, yes, they're fun, but they're way more fun with a friend. So I kind of prioritized those, the ones that you really want a buddy to laugh at. And
Group watch.
So we're just
watching riff.
Watch and riff. We had a blast. We got some new quotes to use from now on when we sign off on the phone. So I have the list of movies we actually watched, and basically we're just going to give a quick, you know, under 5 minute chat reaction. I think all of these movies are fantastic watches. I highly recommend them. We've talked about them briefly on some of the earlier episodes. So we'll just go down the list and talk about the movies, and I just want your reactions, and basically, was it worth watching? Like, was it enjoyable, or would your life have been better had you never heard of it?
Okay.
So the first one is the seminal favorite, Samurai Cop. So, were you familiar at all about the mythology of Samurai Cop? Have you ever heard of it?
I had not. You basically indoctrinated me into the Samurai Cop franchise. So, yes, I was pleasantly surprised. It was definitely something that's worth a watch with a friend kind of a thing. It was just because I love the bad acting. I love bad movies and bad cuts and just overall bad dialogue. So this one covered all those bases.
And it had those in spades. The acting is terrible. I became aware of this from multiple other YouTubers that I watch, like Fanboy Flicks and Red Letter Media. And it bubbled up where I was like, I got to find this movie. I got to track it down. I watched it, and I was like, oh my goodness, Rusty needs to see this movie. That was my genuine first response.
Yes.
And it boggles the mind how it got made. There's parts where you're like, why did you make these decisions? Like the lion head, or the jokes. And we've watched some interviews. Some other YouTubers have done some interviews, and they explain, you know, it was kind of see your pants, kind of improv, cutting corners.
Yeah.
A lot of cutting corners, but it's a true gem. And
I guess they were trying to capitalize on the whole Lethal Weapon buddy cop thing. And that was the director, producer's, his contribution, quote unquote.
There's definitely a, I loved Lethal Weapon, I got to do something like that.
Right.
But the best laid intentions. So the next film, this was filthy dirty. It's called Immoral Tales. You can find it on Arrow right now. This is what they call elevated erotica from France from 1974, and the director wanted to do some, you know, saucy, naughty stuff, but he wanted to make it. It's elevated. It's
art.
It is art. So this is the highest form of art that you can get, with lots and lots of nudity. It's beautifully shot, but it relies very heavily on metaphor and simile and metaphor.
Avant-garde.
It is. Now, to be fair, there are 5 vignettes that make up Immoral Tales. And so the overlying arch is all of them showcase or feature things that society looks down upon, or is find immoral. And but we watched two of them. The first one was La Bête, which is the beast. And what was your thinking on the beast?
That was a thing. Yes, I. Oh, what? How to describe the beast? That was. yes, I got the metaphors. I got the whole thing, and it was kind of funny to watch the young lady
running,
yeah. Running, and then all of a sudden, oh dear, some clothes came off, and yes. Oh dear, some more clothes came off. Oh, what's going to happen?
And salacious acts, you know, stuff that you wouldn't discuss. But you're right; it was rife with metaphor, and you know, it's kind of a now. So the story is the director. He was getting ready to put this in theaters, and a couple other people really liked The Beast in particular, La Bête. And so they pulled it from the actual true release. So the actual movie that was in art house theaters was just four vignettes, and The Beast became a dream sequence in a later film, just kind of dropped in there. So he didn't want to blow his load too early. He wanted to save it.
Yes.
But it's fun and sexy. And then the second one, I believe it's one of the sexiest things I've ever seen in my life. And that's the one about Lady Bathory. And the film does not give you the real history of the mythology, at least, of Bathory. You kind of have to know it before going in. Otherwise, I think you'd be very confused. So there's Wikipedia and stories and things about the Countess Bathory. The gist of it is she would kidnap young women from the local villages and then bathe in their blood to keep herself young, and then she was arrested. You had to kind of know those things before watching it, and then it's kind of being played out. So I don't know if at the time in France, everybody knew the Bathory story, and he didn't need to guide you along, but I felt like without knowing the history, I was a little confused.
Is that where the term taking a bath came from?
Oh, it could.
I was wondering, I'm not really sure, but anyway.
Now, with all the crap we watched, would you say the bloodbath it was the grossest thing I made you watch this weekend?
No.
Okay, good.
I think if I would have known it wasn't actual pig's blood, that would have been
right.
Pretty bloody.
I spilled the blood, and I was like, yeah, I was trying to give Rusty all these background information. And I said, yeah, they actually went to a butcher and got, a bathtub's worth of real pig's blood. Nice. And then she kind of sinks down into it, and Russ, it is queasy-inducing. But the payoff is, there's a scene almost immediately before that where you have 25 naked young French ladies just running back and forth, chasing each other, fighting each other. It's a delightful romp. It's one of my...
Oh, and don't forget shenanigans.
And there's lots of shenanigans, and the squire, Istvan, she does not abide shenanigans. She does not like shenanigans at all. But the movie was beautiful. I do keep, as a photographer, I kept placing myself there, what would it be like lighting and filming, and you've got 25 naked ladies going this way, and then going that way, and then running this way, and running that way. I think that'd be a fun afternoon, but it's probably 4 or 5 days, you would think, was necessary. So at some point, I think you should watch the other ones. There's three other tales on there, mostly about coming of age, discovering your womanhood, fighting the church and oppression, and things like that. So if you can find immoral tales, I do give it a recommend. Maybe not with a buddy, though. Do you think that was also part of it? Maybe not a movie you watch with a buddy.
Sure. If you have a fellow avant-garde art film enthusiast, then sure.
Right. So it's not solely an alone time movie.
Right. If you have friends who want to yell at you about your
proclivities,
which I like that I like that to happen to me with my friends. I torment them profusely. So I would like I have a friend in mind that I say, hey, you got to come over and check out this movie and then watch her face.
Right.
You know. So
and the reaction is a big part.
Yes.
You're not ready for what happens next. Oh my goodness, this puppet has more functions and animatronics than you assumed it did.
Yeah. The prosthetic tech they had for the pieces that we watched was wow.
Impressive.
It was impressive for their time and. Maybe budget, I guess, But yeah, it was just kind of like, wow, okay, they did that.
They did. They went there.
They went there.
They went there. Nobody can accuse them of holding back.
Yes.
Right? There is no self-restraint, I think. I think it was very indulgent.
Yes.
And I'm going to put this out in the universe. I think the time is right. And I'd like to spearhead this myself, but I have no clout. I think the time is right to do a modern-day retelling of the Bathory story. It doesn't have to be attached to this one because it was like a legend, kind of like King Arthur or Robin Hood, where it's an existing character with, you know, no IP. I think the time is now, Hollywood. Let's do a remake of the Bathory story. You can have all the fun that you want to do, but maybe get more into themes about eating the rich and class systems and who deserves to be happy and who doesn't. So I think the time is right, Hollywood. Take my... but give me a call if you want some help. I got some notes.
Yeah.
I got some notes. So then we decide, you know what? We got a little goofy. We got a little artsy. Let's get academic. And so we picked up the That's Sexploitation, featuring David Friedman and Frank Henenlotter. And as you know, Frank Henenlotter is absolutely one of my heroes. I love Basket Case. I love Brain Damage. I love Bad Anatomy. Frankenhooker. I just love everything about what he wants to create. And it turns out that he is a huge fan of the sexploitation era, starting in the 40s, 30s even.
Yeah.
And so this is a very academic, I mean, it is. Research was made, effort was made to really tell the story. How do we get from the Nickelodeons, where you would, you know, put in a nickel and turn the crank, all the way up to the 60s? They kind of stop before you get into the grindhouse era and the direct-to-video era. And I really enjoyed the walk, the journey it took us on.
Yeah.
Kind of sharing... you know, how did we get to point B? How did we get to point C? And now we know.
It was like a constant kind of like one-upmanship, you know. Mm-hmm. They took it to another level as time progressed. But I found it very interesting, very informative. Probably the reason why they came out with the Hays Code back in the mm-hmm. day. There was like all these people, oh, you're showing indecency, burlesque, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, later on the MPAA, is that mm-hmm. it? Very interesting. And then finally they kept trying to top themselves. Then it just becomes straight up porn and like,
right.
Oh, that was the end of that era.
Right. And speaking of the Hays Code, it was very interesting. They acknowledged the Hays Code and where it came from,
mm-hmm.
but theaters still wanted to reap the money that comes from, you know, naked body parts. And so one of the ways they get around that are these sex education films, which
yes.
showed debauchery, showed nudity, but hey, don't arrest me. I am not showing porn. I am educating the public.
That's right.
Which is kind of what this DVD does. It is full of naked body parts, but it's educating the public.
Yes. Hygiene films.
Hygiene films and relationship advice and health.
What married couples should do.
Exactly. Which they said was one of the highest grossing films that year.
Ah, yes.
And when you look at how much money was put into it, it was you know, up there with Blair Witch as far as how profitable it was. I do recommend this DVD for people, this Blu-ray. There is 3 hours of additional footage, because they show clips, right? Clip after clip after clip after clip. And so a lot of times, the stuff was either public domain or they had permission for it. So the bonus features is just about 3 hours of this 1930s through 50s nudie flicks. Like the nudist beach colony stuff and
that's right.
fun things like that. So that was a good watch. Now, in that film, they talk about Herschel Gordon Lewis. And so I said, Rusty, you got to watch Scum of the Earth. Now, this is my two-pack. It comes with Scum of the Earth and Blood Feast. Blood Feast is credited as the very first slasher. So we wouldn't have Jason. We wouldn't have Saw. We wouldn't have...
This is Blood Feast you're talking
Blood
about.
Blood Feast, okay. Right. But then Scum of the Earth came out right after that, which was The Ruffy, and that's where he kind of got his footing.
The first Ruffy,
where they act inappropriately towards women as an appeal. I don't see the appeal in that. But the thing I loved about Scum of the Earth is it's about a photographer shooting models, and then it all goes bad. And so I related very, you know, with the photographer, but then I was absolutely horrified at the treatment of everybody else. I wanted to get your feelings on that one.
I actually liked it. It wasn't what I expected, and it was kind of interesting to, after we watched the sexploitation documentary, watching an actual film from that time period mm-hmm. of, you know, the films that they were talking about. So, I dug it. I liked the photographer character.
Harmon.
Yeah, I like his little road to redemption. You know, I just, and the overall photography of that time period in the early 60s, you know, like that black and white stuff, it was just, there's something about it. I just, you know, that mid-century kind of aesthetic, I guess you could say. But
and one of the things, to your point, the when we see black and white 1950s era things, it's usually educational or super happy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So to see something that's kind of presented as yet another educational film or a super happy piece, to then have all this debauchery and,
right,
and murder and all this...
The underbelly.
The underbelly. It's a very weird, kind of a shock. Like, oh my goodness, I didn't think people in 1950s or 60s did things like that.
Right, exactly.
And the truth was that they did.
Right, right.
And then one little tidbit, Blood Feast is in color. And then he filmed Scum of the Earth after that, but he specifically put it in black and white because he felt it felt seedier and it felt warmer and it was what he wanted.
Rougher.
Rougher, right. And so it definitely had that appeal to him.
Yes.
And I think that's cool you picked up on that.
Yeah, but I dug it. It was good. It was entertaining. I like the overall, the story arc, and
yeah.
I like it kind of sort of had a happy ending, and they had that little... You see, this is what happens, kids, when you... Here's the girl got away, but there's the next girl.
Right. And it's again, like a warning.
Yeah. It's
like,
it's
this is how easy it is for them to rope you into their web of lies.
Right.
And I think they were able to get away with a little bit, much like the He-Man cartoons would have a moral tale at the end of every episode, so exactly. It wasn't just a commercial. You can see some remnants of that Hays Code fight, where you want to do something... very raunchy and sleazy, but we're going to present it as a warning.
A PSA, if you will.
A PSA, right, where you can get really nuts.
You see, kids, this is what happens when you take pictures of boobies.
Right, cannot, oh no. Or allow yourself to be, you know, sweet-talked.
Now we know.
Now we know. Knowing's half the battle. So then I said, okay, we're coming near the end of my weekend. I've got some diehard, like just absolute favorites. We got to squeeze in. I didn't succumb you to any of my cannibal favorites or some of my more offbeat weirdo stuff. But we did have to watch Bad Taste by Peter Jackson. This was his first movie. He did all of it by himself. He did all the special effects. He designed the prosthetics and the costumes and the special effects and figured out how to do all those himself. So much like my love for Basket Case, I love that endearing... You know what? I'm going to figure it out. I don't know how to do it. I'm going to figure it out. But yes. This is your first time seeing Bad Taste.
It is. I think my first Peter Jackson movie, I think, with a lot of people was Dead Alive. And then years later, The Frighteners came out. I'm like, oh, this Peter Jackson guy. You know, and I didn't know about, you know, Beautiful Creatures or whatever that one was called. Right. And then, of course, Lord of the Rings. And we're like, wow, this guy's come a long right. way. So... I was actually impressed at the editing of this movie, like for his first time, and he had to have been shooting on 16 or, but yeah, no, editing was like, and some of the editing transitions were like, wow, this guy gets it, you know,
right?
And it reminds you of a Sam Raimi, you know, like that's probably one of his inspirations, but very goopy,
yeah.
I do have problems with vomitous, things.
When he was spewing in the bowl.
I was like,
yeah.
So it was very, very goopy.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, it was action packed. It was, it was nothing like what I expected. I thought I was going to see more puppets. But of course at the end with the aliens and the faces and stuff.
And the butt cheeks.
yes. But yeah, I can gladly say I've seen Peter Jackson's first movie now.
Right. To me, I've there's several directors where people are like, this is their first one, you got to watch it. I'm like, okay. And then I watch it, and I'm like, how did this guy get a second job? I don't get it. and I try to get over how amateurish it is. But like, okay, to be honest, I see Reservoir Dogs. I saw Reservoir Dogs after Pulp Fiction. Because Pulp Fiction...
Really?
Pulp Fiction had come to theaters, and everybody's like, you got to see this.
Wow.
I was 16, 17, so I didn't have a lot of wherewithal to go to the Blockbuster myself and rent Reservoir Dogs. That was, and I had a younger brother, so we always had to pick movies.
Sure, sure.
So everybody's telling me, you got to go watch Pulp Fiction. And I watched Pulp Fiction and was like, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then and my eyes were open to, you know, crime dramas and non-linear editing and the counterculture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody's like, well, if you like Pulp Fiction, you got to watch Reservoir Dogs. So I watched Reservoir Dogs and was like, I see it. I see what other producers, what Hollywood, what audiences saw with Reservoir Dogs when they had no other information.
Yeah.
And said, okay, Tarantino, what's next? But there have been other directors where someone's like, oh, if you love that, watch their first movie. And I'm like, how did, I don't get it. I don't know what people see. And so with Bad Taste, I see Bad Taste and I'm like, I know exactly what other people saw. They saw maturity. They saw overcoming shortcomings from budget and time and things like that.
Inventiveness.
And it's like, if he can do that with this, what can he do with a major production?
Right.
And so I really saw that. And I, you're right. I was already a Peter Jackson fan. I loved his King Kong.
Okay.
I really did. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I love the love for the subject matter, the taking you on a journey, the spectacle. And so I was not a huge Lord of the Rings fan, though. Like, I'm a really? Star Wars guy. Like, if I had to pick one, I'd choose Star Wars every single time. I enjoyed Lord of the Rings, but I never bought the box sets. I watched them all once or twice.
Okay.
I never did, like, the long marathons that some people do, you know, 9 hours in a theater. But I still like Peter Jackson. And I did see his the one where he did a restoration of World War One film, Let Them Die Heroes. I'm going to put it up here in a second. Them Never Be Forgotten.
I think I saw a trailer or something.
Yeah. And that was, so he's still very active and incredible director. But I, for my money, I would pick Bad Taste over The Lord of the Rings the next time I want a Peter Jackson movie.
I guess the next one I'll want to see is Meet the Feebles.
Yes.
So I've seen clips many years ago, but never actually saw it. So we'll see if it's around somewhere I can
have
access to
it. I'm also going to try to track it down. You're right. I haven't seen it either. And I do acknowledge that it is significant in his early career.
I think there's a lot more. I think there's more puppets in that one, too.
Okay.
I think. I apologize. I'm not very knowledgeable about Meet the People. So.
Right.
But we're going to call myself a film buff.
Right. Well, we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure out a way to track it down, and we'll watch that one sometime. And then the grand finale, I made Rusty watch Street Trash, the original from 1987, Street Trash. As you're aware, there is a brand new Street Trash put out by Vinegar Syndrome, and we're excited to check that out at some point, but I thought Rusty has to see the original Street Trash. Well, you and I went to Spooky in Orlando, Florida. And there was a guy selling DVDs, and I told him I liked Basket Case, and I like Cannibal Holocaust, and like this and like that. He's like, well, do you like Street Trash? And I said, I never saw it. He's like, stop. I don't care what DVDs you buy from me, and I want you to buy a lot. You have to buy Street Trash. And I was like, oh, okay. So I bought Street Trash, and my God, it is, I'd never heard of it, right?
It was a movie.
Wow. There's Technicolor explosions. People just drip and melt and explode. It's not like red and pink. It is blues and purples and yellows and oranges and greens. And
if I could put that movie into into recipe format, I'd say you got a little Peter Jackson, you got a little John Waters, and a sprinkling of Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
That would be that movie.
It's surprisingly not a trauma release, but it if you like trauma films, you don't have to worry about the time invested in Street Trash. You will.
Yeah.
You will dig it. It did have some themes. Like, it's not just, you know, hanging scenes on nothing. It does have some themes to it, but the story really is not a finished, polished story with a protagonist on a, you know, facing challenges and then an ending. It kind of,
it likes to go off in some areas at some point, but they finally come back to the Viper beverage, which turns people very goopy.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. I'm a little mad. This edition says on the back that you get your own Viper sticker to put on your own bottle. And when I opened it up, there is no Viper sticker.
Was that a brand new?
No, it was not shrink wrapped.
Oh.
So it says out of print.
Oh. So somebody must have.
Somebody swiped it and then sold it, and they did not return the Viper sticker.
Of course.
So whoever you are, you're a bastard. You're a bastard. So I thought that was a pretty successful weekend. I successfully turned off my brain. Got to share in some good times. Is there one in particular that stands out?
One in particular? Oh, my goodness. Oh. Man. That's a bouquet of...
Right.
of movies that you had me watch. It's all over the spectrum. But I guess if I had to pick one, the one that gave me these strange dreams was the Scum of the Earth. So yeah. I couldn't pick one.
Oh, I gotcha. And that was kind of the thing. But I hemmed and hawed over that layout of, okay, we got to watch these. We should watch these. I'm going to have to talk you into these. These are just vintage porn. I really hemmed and hawed on the collection. I really wanted to curate it. That was one of the things. I really wanted my turn at curating what I wanted.
Your curation skills are pretty good. So I trust you to say, okay, just put it in. We'll watch it. Good enough for me.
And I want to say to you... I was just going to leave this with you for a month to watch at your leisure, the documentary. And then you said, well, I want to watch the documentary. I was like, you know what? I love that documentary.
Yeah.
And I think it was great that we watched a documentary because it's having like a little bit of vegetables. Now they're deep fried, but we had a little bit of vegetables with the gravy and the French fries. And
the doc's so nice, you have to watch it twice.
You do. It's fantastic. poor David Friedman. I think this is the last thing he produced. He looked kind of rough during the filming of it. But he
passed in 2011?
I think so. It was before they produced the Blu-ray because they have a in memoriam at the end.
Okay.
And actually, David Friedman, I think, was part of Scum of the Earth.
Okay.
He was a producer, but he was mostly distributor. But I thought that was fantastic. He said, you know what? Let's cut through some of the clutter. Let's watch something of some redeemable value and also get a lot of boobs along the way. You know, you can't help it. That's just your job.
Yeah, this weekend was full of boobs and goop. Goopy boobs.
Goopy boobs.
Goopy boobs.
Which was fantastic. so I had a just a terrific weekend doing this. And I'm leaving you a handful of DVDs to watch on your own time. And frequently, because I live about 6 hours away, we talk on the phone every other week or so, and we try to give each other homework. Be like, no, you got to watch this one. No, you got to watch this one. You were able to see September 5, right? The Olympics one.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Yes, very good.
That was another one where I walked out of the theater. I was like, I want Rusty to see this because of the old tech gear.
Right.
Also the storytelling and the thing they put you in was just so fantastic. I loved everything about that movie, so I highly recommend.
They really go into the particulars of 70s tech, like what they had to do to get the shots and the little, like you said, the little bug, the superimposed bugs.
Right, the logo and
that. That was, to me, I find that stuff interesting. So a good companion piece to that I kind of wanted to watch is the Spielberg Munich.
Yes.
Those kind of two films like would go like hand in hand, you know.
It's a different side of the story.
Right, right.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, I dug it. It was good.
Very cool.
So
what I love is we didn't just pick random garbage. You know, like this one has a lot of, you know, memes from it. This one has, you know, it's Peter Jackson's first. This one was significant in the history of horror. So there was
a broad spectrum.
Right. There was a theory to it. So maybe in a year or two, I'll come back out and we'll do another smattering. I'm trying to get Rusty onto Giallo. It is both trashy and beautiful at the same time.
Italian.
Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, the Italian, 1970s Italian movies. And it's something worth getting into. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, man, I appreciate my education of films, and all of which I have never seen. So I thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you for hosting me. Yeah. And remember, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe. But when you want a good dose of boobs and gloop, talk to